Thank you. This is our fourth broadcast of our series on the Arab states and prophecy. We're dealing with our topic in three specific areas. Number one, we are dealing first of all with the root of the conflict, and that's what we have completed so far as of our last broadcast. It would note that the root of the conflict began with two individuals, Ishmael and Esau, who are the fathers of the Arab states. The second area of our study will concern the perpetual hatred of the Arabs against the Jews, and we shall begin dealing with the second area on this broadcast. It then will go on to the third main area of our study, and that is, what is the future of the individual Arab states as we have them today? So let's pick up with the second area of our study, what the Bible talks about the perpetual hatred of the Arabs against Israel, which basically covers the span of time since the death of Ishmael and Esau until that point of time where we can deal specifically and prophetically with the individual Arab states, and hence it is the same as our present time. Now the hatred and animosities of Ishmael and Esau towards the Jews was instilled in their descendants, and there has been a continuous and perpetual hatred of the descendants of Esau and Ishmael against the Jews, characterized especially by the Ishmaelites, descendants of Ishmael, and Edomites, descendants of Esau. Now, one example of this, and an example that shows how early the descendants had this animosity, is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 14 through 21. Now, by the time this passage takes place, it would appear that the tables were indeed reversed. It would appear that the Arabs had all the blessings, and the Jews had all the curses. Because the descendants of Esau established their nationhood in the mountains of Mount Seir and had king after king and had become a strong and mighty people. But Jacob and his descendants went down into Egypt and eventually became slaves of the Egyptians. But now God has brought Israel out of the land of Egypt and is bringing them into their own possession, the land of Canaan. And the shortest distance to take would be to go by way of the land of Edom. And again, the Edomites are descendants of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. And a request has to be issued, and here's where we come to our story in Numbers 20, verses 14 through 21. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time. The Egyptians dealt ill with us and our fathers. And when we cried unto Jehovah, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy land. We will not pass through field or through vineyard, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left, until we have passed thy border. But Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass through me, lest I come out with the sword against thee. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go up by way of the highway. If we drink of thy water, I and my cattle, then will I give the price thereof. Let me only, without doing anything else, pass through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not pass through. And Edom came out against them with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Now notice that when Moses makes this request of the Edomites, he makes it on the basis of their blood and brotherly relationship. From verse 14, Moses said, thus saith thy brother Israel. A simple passage, a simple request for passage from one point to another on a brotherly relationship is refused to Israel by the nation of Edom, the descendants of Esau. And although Edom is Israel's brother, and these were brother nations, nevertheless Edom had no intention of allowing Israel to pass through. So notice, although about 400 years have passed, by this time, the perpetual animosity that began with Esau has been instilled in Esau's descendants against the Jews. And to make sure the Jews do not cross their country, the Edomites come out with their army to the border to force the Jews to take a much longer route to their own homeland, though Edom had settled in theirs. Also, throughout the book of Judges, in the period of the Judges, we read of Ishmaelites and Edomites, as well as others, attacking Israel. So even after Israel is settled in her own land, we find the animosity is still there. Now, there is a beautiful passage in Scripture that portrays the situation as it is today, and that is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 83, verses 1-8. O God, keep not thou silent, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They take crafty counsel against thy people, and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that name of Israel may be no more remembrance, for they have consulted together with one consent against thee that they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria is also joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot. In the first three verses of Psalm 83, the psalmist describes a united conspiracy and a united confederacy against Israel. He says they are a tumultuous people who are crafty and unite together against the Jews. And their aim is clearly described in verse 4, and that is the destruction of Israel. They want to so destroy the nation of Israel that the world will not even remember the very name Israel any longer. It's no accident the various Arab leaders have virtually paraphrased this very verse. In fact, when I was a student at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Israel, just before the Six-Day War, which I was also in Jerusalem for, I heard Nasser on radio get up and say that he would drive the Jews into the sea, and he would wipe Israel off the map so it won't even be remembered that there was a nation of Israel in this century. And this is the nature of this group's hatred towards Israel. And again, it's no coincidence that Nasser, the former dictator of Egypt, did mouth this very verse just before starting the Six-Day War. Then the psalmist begins to describe a group of nations, and he describes the fact that these nations have consulted together into a covenant relationship, and they all come together with one consent, and this one consent is the program of verse 4, the total annihilation and destruction of Israel. In verses 6-8, he begins listing a number of nations, and all of these various nations that come together against Israel are, of course, all ancient nations. Yet these very same nations comprise the modern Arab states, who on many occasions have voiced the plan of Israel's destruction of verse 4. Now, while all these are ancient names, they do comprise the modern Arab states. And let me show you or tell you how they match up. Going in order as they are found in the text, Edom is today southern Jordan. The Ishmaelites, Ishmael was the father of many of the Arab states. Moab is in central Jordan. The Hagarines were from Egypt. Gebal is up in Lebanon. Ammon is northern Jordan. Amalek is in the Sinai Peninsula. Philistia is in the Gaza Strip. Tyre is also up in Lebanon. And finally, Assyria comprises all of modern-day Iraq or Iraq and portions of modern Syria. Now, I might point out that at no point in history have all of these nations, as listed here, ever come together against the Jewish state for the purpose of destroying Israel so that the name will not even be remembered. This never, never, never happened in ancient history. The first record of this ever occurring is in 1948, when these various Arab states did combine together to try to destroy when Israel was first reborn. And this has especially been true since the Six-Day War, when one Arab leader after another Arab leader has clearly come out and said that the only way of gaining peace in the Middle East is for the total annihilation of Israel as a nation. So as we look at Psalm 83 verses 1 through 8, it is not describing a situation that was true in the psalmist's day. It is not describing a situation that was true in ancient history of any time. He's describing a situation that has only been true since 1948. So these are the nations that combined together for the purpose of destroying Israel. And again, the first time that all these nations ever gathered together into unity for Israel's destruction was during the Six-Day War and since. And by and large, we have seen it continue to the present day. So what is happening in the Middle East today is a fulfillment of Psalm 83. And to the present day, many of them are still paraphrasing verse 4. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, so that the name of Israel will no more be in remembrance. We have more to say about this perpetual animosity, but we'll pick it up in our next broadcast. So until then, we bid you shalom.